stars glitter above a logo. Catchlight Studios. Text, a Max Original, a Catchlight Studios production. A white sans serif title appears on black. Gray Matter. At night, a city sprawls over shadowy hills. A black woman in a gray hoodie and black jacket sticks a wire device to the outer wall of a building. A brunette white guy runs up to her as she plants another.
Stop.
I'm done talking.
This won't stop anything. Emma, please. Let's talk to the others. Some of them are on our side.
A police cruiser rolls up.
Run!
Hey, stop!
Get back here now! Stop! Get on the ground!
The pair sprints across a parking lot and past a warehouse. A cop and his partner pursue them.
God, Jesus Christ! It's only gonna be worse for you! Get on the ground!
The pair splits up. He stays outside while Isla runs to the warehouse. She tries a locked door, then darts through an open one. Inside, she comes to a halt on the edge of a rough set of stairs. A low wall divides the dim, cavernous space, and wooden beams stand upright at even intervals. She makes her way down the stairs and peers desperately around the room. The police burst in and shine a flashlight on her.
Show me your hands!
Don't you move! Stay right there!
A cop descends toward her.
I'm not gonna say it again. Hands, now!
With her back to the officer, the woman raises her hands. She turns and looks at him as he levels his pistol at her.
You're making a mistake.
On your knees.
Backup needed. 1,000 block off of Wayland.
Let's go, come on. I'm not gonna keep repeating myself. On the ground now.
I'm not going with you.
I'm sorry, Missy. That's not how this works.
Actually, that's exactly how this works. Because you won't like the alternative. I promise you that.
She steps toward him.
Hey! Whoa.
Get back!
She freezes.
You want to go home tonight?
What, is that a threat?
She shakes her head.
It's a chance.
The two cops exchange a look. The woman fixes her eyes intensely on the officer before her.
Okay. I'm gonna give you 3 seconds to get on the ground. Do you understand? Stop.
If she takes one more step, I'm gonna pull the trigger. That's what you're thinking, right?
His eyes widen. She looks at the other cop.
You not so much. Now you are.
For a moment, they all stare. Then the woman's face contorts in effort and she swings her left hand forward. A nearby metal cylinder flies up and slams into the officer in front of her.
Hey.
The other officer starts to flee, cut to black.
What the hell happened?
White text on black. Psionic. A person with psychic abilities. These abilities include telekinesis, astral projection, teleportation, and telepathy. Their existence remains a secret. 15 years later, a white picket fence wraps around a blue single-story home. Inside, a black teenage girl with loose natural curls sits at a dinner table. Isla carries in 2 plates of pasta, sets one in front of the girl, and sits down. The teen reaches for the salt, and it slides out of her reach.
Seriously? What?
She reaches for it once more, and again it slides away. She grins, then with a forceful swipe, finally grabs it. Isla smirks and reaches for her fork. It slides across the table.
You started it.
The teen slides it further away.
Give it to me, I'm hungry.
Not my problem.
Isla slams her hand down on the fork with a playful smile.
Ha ha!
They clink their forks together and start eating. Now on a rundown suburban street, The teenager bounces a tennis ball as she walks. Then she sits on the steps of her porch, engrossed in a book open on her lap. A car with peeling paint waits in the drive beside some old furniture. Art supplies and a photo of her and Isla sitting against hay bales rest on her dresser. At night, she lies in bed reading. The three vignettes repeat. The teen strolls the center of the road with her tennis ball, then reads on her porch, then in her room. As she lies in bed, she holds the book above her face, then lets go. The book, titled Fundamentals of Metal Theory, floats above her. With the book suspended in mid-air, she stands and puts a record on the record player on her dresser. She returns to bed, lies beneath the book, and gently twists her right index finger. The book floats down. She grasps it and continues reading. A freight train moves past the neighborhood. In the living room, Isla sits alone on the sofa. She glances around the daylit room, then slowly stands up. She edges around the brown and green floral couch, then runs her fingertips along its upholstered arm.
Good touch sensation.
She picks up the remote and turns on the TV.
Where are you going?
I told you, I quit.
You can't quit, we're a team, two peas in a pod.
Oh, those are gonna be black-eyed peas if you don't get out of my...
She shuts it off. With a measured gait, she sets the remote down and walks to the dining room. There, she picks up a white ceramic coffee cup off the table. She takes a long sip, then gazes down at the mug as she holds it in front of her. She drops it. The mug flickers as it falls, then smashes on the wood floor with a flash of purple light before returning to normal. The room warps around Isla and she disappears. She opens her eyes beside her daughter in bed. The teen shakes her head in frustration.
What went wrong? The cup. Wasn't expecting you to drop it. Projections need to be fully formed, fictions not reactive to the victim. When you do what we can do, you make victims of people.
I know
you know. It just bears repeating. Did you fill the pool?
Yeah, I kept it back.
Good, well, let's do it again.
Are you serious? Why?
Because you're not fully in control. These abilities only work if you are in control. If you let that power take over...
People can die, I know. But you don't let me use them outside of the house, so I think humanity is safe. My show is on.
I know your show is on. That's all you're thinking about.
I hate when you do that.
Then learn how to keep me out. Again.
The psionic rolls her eyes and walks back to her mom. Later, Isla watches TV in the living room.
About a dozen downtown businesses were boarded up Wednesday and glass-littered sidewalks following two nights of protests. This morning, there were few people on the streets as the city school board shut down all schools in the downtown metro.
Why are you watching that? This makes you mad.
It's good to know what people are saying.
They say the same shit every day.
Someday they may say something different. It's our early warning system.
Hiya, hiya, hiya! I'm Mad Maddie the Mattress Master, and I'm here to tell you that our hybrid memory foam line is on sale.
Yeah, you get an early warning sign about the latest mattress sales.
Time for school.
She smiles and shuts off the TV. Sitting at the dining table, the teen twirls a pencil in her hand as she stares forward idly. A textbook lies open before her.
You know, maybe I could read something different today? Something with an actual plot?
Life doesn't have a plot.
Yeah, that's why books should.
You're 16. You want fairy tales. Not like normal people, Ro. There's a reason I make you read the books I do.
Ro reads the book's title.
Virtue Ethics and Utilitarianism? I know right from wrong. I don't need a 300-page book to tell me.
The point of that book is that power has a way of diminishing moral senses.
What does that even mean?
That we have a choice. And how we use these abilities. When we're out there in the world, when it's not just me and you, those choices matter.
Ro lowers her gaze to the book again.
If you get stopped, taken, what do you do? Tell me what?
I tell them nothing.
What do you show them?
Nothing.
What happens if they go into your memories?
I forget.
Forget what?
As much as I can.
How?
I think of anything else.
Use an anchor.
An anchor memory, right. Yeah, an anchor memory.
And you fight.
She meets her mom's gaze.
You fight as long and as hard as you can.
Rose stares off pensively. Isla grabs a cup.
And where will I be?
The bus stop on the 730 line off of Route 80, exit 3.
That's right.
In the living room, Ro watches TV, still holding the book.
I told you, I quit.
You can't quit. We're a team. Two peas in a pod.
Oh, those are going to be black-eyed peas if you don't get out of my way.
Hey, I'm sorry.
You talk, but I don't believe it. I'm gone.
Well, what about my dead cat?
You never had a cat.
Exactly my point. So help me fix this before our parents get back.
Why should I?
Well, because it wasn't exactly my fault.
You hate what we read, but you love this garbage.
Yep. It's my only way of seeing regular people.
You see regular people. That's not how they are.
Well, it's closer than how we live.
Going out for supplies.
You mean shopping? Can I come?
Not this time.
Why not?
Stay here with your regular people.
Isla grabs a bag and walks out into the fading daylight. She climbs into the station wagon and backs out of the drive. Ro pulls back a curtain and peers out a window to watch her mom drive away. In the twilight, Ro strides across the lawn of a rundown apartment building. Then she sits with a curly-haired teenage boy on a set of swings. They each have an earbud in, and he holds his phone between them as they listen.
What do you think?
I think it's really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They take their earbuds out.
Okay, well, obviously I still gotta, work on the lyrics and all that and find someone who can sing them. Do you sing?
Oh, no. I mean, I wouldn't call it singing. I kind of made you something.
She smiles and he returns it.
It's stupid.
She passes him a friendship bracelet.
You made this.
He admires it for a moment, then turns to her.
Could you?
He holds out his wrist, and Ro puts the bracelet on him.
So, tomorrow I'm hanging out with some friends, and, I'd really like it if you'd come.
I don't know.
Well, I know you're shy or whatever, but it could be really fun, and it'll only be a few of us.
Okay, but, how many is a few?
I don't know. You want, a guest list or something?
No, I just... You're my only friend, and adding anything onto that is a big deal.
Well, I think you could handle it.
Headlights glide past on a nearby road.
Plus, what's the worst thing that could happen?
Shit, she's home early. I gotta go.
Tomorrow night?
We'll see.
We're meeting by the old school.
Ro hurries off. The boy smiles and looks at the bracelet. Ro sprints back across the lawn of the apartment building. Her mom pulls into their driveway. She climbs out of the car with a bag of groceries as Ro runs to the other side of the house. Ro slides her bedroom window open and climbs inside. Running to the living room, Ro leaps over the couch and sits down. Her mom walks in.
You haven't moved since I left.
Yeah, this is like my favorite show.
An infomercial.
Right.
Her mom sets the groceries down. Ro closes her eyes.
Shit.
So what's his name?
Whose name?
The boy you were just with.
There isn't any.
We're not playing that game.
Then pick a different game.
You want to keep secrets? And shield them better in your mind.
Her lips don't move.
How about you stay out of my head and give me some privacy? Or, you know, stay in one place long enough for me to make some friends? Have a life?
Isla stares at her.
We're leaving on Friday.
What? Why? Why? I don't get a say-so?
No, you don't get a say-so.
Rose stands in protest, then drops onto the couch again with a sullen look. Isla turns away, a flicker of regret passing across her face, then picks up the grocery bags and walks to the kitchen. In the morning, Isla sets a box of books on the table in front of Ro.
Move this box across the room.
I've never moved anything that heavy before.
It's not a car, Ro. If you're strong enough to pick it up with your arms, you can pick it up with your mind. You need to tap into that energy to move heavier objects and not lose control. From there to the coffee table.
Fine.
Ro stands, takes a few steps back, then focuses on the box. She stretches her fingers out at her sides and slowly lifts her arms. The box hovers a few inches off the table.
Good. Hold it there. And when you're ready, start moving it.
Ro furrows her brow and pushes her right arm out. The box jerks forward, tilting.
Remember, Ro, trust your power.
The box floats toward the coffee table. The room shakes around Ro and she clenches her jaw.
Ro, look at me. Fight it, Ro!
Ro grits her teeth. The space spasms around her and Ro's arm falls in exhaustion. The box plummets in the doorway.
Damn it!
She runs to Ro, who grips her head in pain.
Okay.
Ro pushes her mom away.
That's why you don't get a say-so. You're not ready.
I could have fought it off. You barely gave me a chance.
Isla psychically pins her to the ground.
They'll give you a chance.
Okay, I get it.
You have to be able to control these abilities without me there to help you. One mistake, one, and they will find you. You get that?
You're hurting me.
She releases Ro.
What is wrong with you?
Just trying to give you the tools to protect yourself.
From who? No one is coming for us, Mom. There is no they. You and all your bullshit, your lessons, project this, move that. I am sick of it. I didn't ask for these powers, and if I could give them back, I would. My life is shit because of them.
Ro trudges out of the room. At night, Ro lies on her side in bed, gazing at a picture of her and her mom. A record spins on her dresser. Her mom eases the door open and peeks her head in. Ro looks away from her.
About earlier.
Get it? What album is it?
She steps into the room holding a vinyl record in a plaid sleeve. Ro sits up and takes it from her.
You like them, right?
She examines the record without looking at her mom.
Good night.
Now standing in front of the bathroom mirror, Ro puts on small gold hoop earrings and smooths out her hair with her hands. She wears an unbuttoned plaid shirt over a green t-shirt and black slacks. Meeting her own gaze in the mirror, she forces a timid smile that quickly fades. She shuts her eyes, steeling herself. Ro climbs out her bedroom window and walks into the night. She moves anxiously through the neighborhood in the amber glow of streetlights, fiddling with her hair and folding her hands in front of her. She arrives at a fence and peers through a dark carousel into a schoolyard. There, a group of five teens hang out by an empty pool, including the boy she gave the bracelet to. Ro shifts on her feet, then starts to walk away.
Hey! Where are you going? Come over here.
See, I told you she'd come.
I'm just shocked she exists, bro.
She actually kind of hot.
Hey, bro, shut up.
50 bucks says she's not hot, bro.
Hey!
He walks up to a chain-link fence, and she meets him at it.
Hi.
Hi.
She glances toward the others.
You okay?
Yeah.
Do you want to go somewhere just us?
No. I want to meet your friends.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She gives a bashful smile.
Okay.
He pushes out a gap in the fence, and Ro walks through. A guy skateboards past them.
So that's Aaron.
Yeah.
That's Kala. That's Dina. And that's Caleb. I'm embarrassed by all of them.
Embarrassed by you?
Hey, come over here. How much is his mom paying you to hang out with him?
Don't answer that, okay?
Don't tell her what to do.
A lot?
I knew it.
She got you on a payment plan?
Look, she gets paid every Friday, all right? Now drop it.
That's why your mom's staying.
You don't go to Thomas Jefferson, right?
Thomas Jefferson?
Yeah. The school?
No, I'm homeschooled, I guess.
Shit, I wish I was homeschooled.
Trust me, you don't. Unless you want your mom as your teacher.
Yeah, that won't work. I hate my mom.
I love you, Mom.
Shut up. Oh, my God, buddy. Not again.
You live around here?
Yeah, over there.
You live in the Stevens complex?
Yeah.
I didn't think anyone but homeless people still lived in those houses over there.
Bro, it's unhoused.
Idiot, homeless people don't have homes.
Unhoused, dude, come on.
All right, Mr. Wolf.
You know what I mean, bro.
We're not homeless.
Whatever you say.
Caleb takes a drink and spits.
Bro, whatever's in this tastes like ass.
That's top shelf.
Like you know what top shelf
it's
is.
It's top shelf.
Bottom of my ass.
I think this is going well.
Top of what shelf?
Ro and the boy talk alone.
Definitely
what is
that.
In this, dude?
You want a drink?
No.
It's just Coke.
Ray, I see you.
What is in that? I'm not drinking that. Get out.
Ro takes a drink as they stroll in the dry pool.
Yeah, you can have it.
Do you want to sit?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
He sets down the Coke and goes to prop up two old chairs. As she waits, Rose's hands clench into fists at her side.
I should have put my warmer jacket. I really like her.
Hey, are you cold?
She's weird. Maybe I should try and hold her hand.
The boy looks at her as Ro's face tenses in pain.
What's going on?
He is such a sin.
Why aren't I TikTok famous yet?
What does he even see in her?
You okay?
What's going on over there?
Nothing, we're just talking.
Ro grips at her head.
What the hell is wrong with her?
Hey, what's going on over there, bro?
Losing that drink, Isaiah.
Nothing.
okay? Bro, she's freaking out.
What is she on?
I don't know.
Jose, take her ass home, bro. She's killing my heart.
Hey, stop!
Talk to me.
Breathe. I'm right here.
It's okay.
Ro looks at Isaiah wide-eyed and steadies her breathing. With a smile, he reaches out and holds her hand. The light blurs around Ro as her brow creases. An artery in Isaiah's neck suddenly bursts and blood splatters across Ro's face. Isaiah reaches for his neck as blood spurts between his fingers. He collapses in slow motion. His friends rush over as Ro falls to her knees in horror. Caleb stands over Isaiah's motionless body as blood pools beneath him. Ro gapes at her blood-stained hands as Isaiah's friends confront her.
Frank, I need help.
You need help?
We need help. Those are friends.
Ro presses a hand to the cement and the pool begins to shake. She looks up at them.
What's going on?
I need help.
She screams. Ro disappears in a blaze of white light. At home, her mom shoots up in bed.
Ro?
She bursts into Ro's empty bedroom.
Shit.
She closes her eyes and focuses.
Ro, can you hear me? Ro, please, if you can hear this, just send me a message.
She hurries outside with a bag in her hand and climbs into her car. Tears run down her cheeks as she starts the ignition.
Ro, meet me at the appointed place. Do not go home.
Idling in her driveway, she pounds the steering wheel. She frantically backs out into the street. Cut to black. Ro's eye opens, her pupil dilated. Dried blood spatter crosses her face. As she gazes up, a bright ceiling light sharpens into focus. She sits up on a couch in a modern gray office. A line of opaque windows flanks a white door. She stands and quickly strides to the door, yanking the handle.
Hello? Is anyone there? Hello?
Turning around, she closes her eyes and concentrates.
Mom? Mom, are you there? I did something really, really bad, and I'm sorry, but I really, really need you right now.
She sinks onto a rug at the foot of the couch, drawing her knees to her chest.
Mom, please. Please tell me you can hear me.
She covers her face. The door to the room opens and Ro leaps onto the couch in a panic as a man enters.
Ah, you're awake. How you feeling? Are you okay?
She flinches from him.
Okay.
He sets some folded clothes and a pair of white sneakers on the coffee table beside a water pitcher and glass.
Where am I?
You're someplace safe.
How did I get here?
I heard your call for help. I brought you here.
Ro narrows her eyes.
You're like me?
Yes. This entire place was designed specifically for people like us. So, like I said, you're safe. Clean clothes for you. Towel, bathroom's right around the corner. Okay?
What's gonna happen to me?
Nothing you need to worry about. Clean yourself up. We'll talk after.
He closes the door. Standing before a bathroom mirror, Ro wears a blue sweatshirt and dabs her wet hair with a towel. On the counter, her blood-stained sneakers sit atop her old clothes. She sweeps them into the garbage. Now, Ro sits across from the bald white man, who has a short gray beard and wears a tan cardigan. He closes a pocket watch.
When's the last time you ate?
I'm not hungry.
She sits with her arms wrapped around her legs. He sets the gold pocket watch on a coffee table.
Most psionics I detect young, at 5 or 6. But here you are, in your teens, and I know nothing about you. Maybe we can start with a name.
Aurora.
Aurora. It's very nice to meet you, Aurora. I'm Derek. I'm very sorry about what happened to your friend.
Ro averts her gaze.
How often have you replayed it in your head?
It won't stop. He was my only friend, and he was nice to me, and I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to, and I couldn't control it.
The surge is what we call it. It's how I found you.
Derek pours himself a glass of water from a pitcher.
That power, it'll pull you in and make you lose control if you don't know how to resist it.
I'm done using them.
Oh, no. All you need is proper training.
Training, that's what you do here.
It is. And I can already tell that you're exceptional. Because throughout this entire conversation, you've managed to keep me out of your head. And that's... Who are your parents, Aurora? Who do you live with?
No one. I ran away.
Is there anyone you'd like me to call? Anyone at all?
She glances down.
No.
Derek checks his watch.
Well, it's getting late. I'm gonna have one of the attendants show you to a room, if you would, in fact, like to stay here, and I hope you do. There are some kids here around your age I'd like to introduce you to at some point. Yeah?
What about what I did to Isaiah?
Yeah. I'll take care of it.
Derek stands and opens the door. A white brunette woman in a black uniform steps into the room.
Okay. This is Gloria. Don't mind the contraption on her face. All of our attendants are non-psionic. They wear those to keep the rest of us out of their heads. She'll get you settled.
You ready?
A wiry device snakes from above Gloria's right ear to her cheek. She smiles warmly at Ro, who reluctantly stands. Gloria leads her down a long, sterile gray hallway with brick on one side and a row of high windows on the other. Gloria opens a door and gestures to a stylish room, furnished with a twin bed, a love seat, and a TV.
Bathroom is through that door. If you need anything else, let us know. We're glad you're here.
She smiles, touches Ro's shoulder, then leaves. Ro scans the room with a dubious look and sits at the foot of the bed. Derek meets with Ro in the office.
Good morning.
Did you get some sleep?
A little.
Did you eat?
A little.
Aurora, what happened wasn't your fault. These abilities, they're complicated. They're transformative. And as you've seen, they can be dangerous. Can I ask you about your abilities? Not all of us possess, or I should say, can access the same ones.
What do you want to know?
Well, I already know you can read minds, because you've been trying to get inside mine since we met. It's okay. I'd be doing the same thing if I was in your shoes. But can you move objects?
I'm not good at it. Not if it's heavy.
Foresight?
I like to do projections.
Really? Well, young lady, I'm very interested to find out what else you can do, given the right focus, the right opportunity.
How can you teleport?
Oh. With an immense amount of focus, control, will. It rivals astral projection in terms of the energy required.
I don't know what that is.
Astral projection? Oh, it's pretty cool. You project your own form, your presence, away from your physical body. It's like being in two places at once. Incredibly taxing physically and very difficult to master.
Can you do it?
Not well. Let's take a walk. Come on.
Outside, sunlight filters through tree branches as Roe and Derek stroll a path through a fenced garden. A large, boxy two-story building stretches out behind them.
So how are you feeling about this place?
You said there were other kids here my age?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
When do I get to meet them?
Well, most are in class at the moment. Education's a priority here, but if you'd like, you can start taking your meals in the dining hall with them this evening. Is that good?
Okay.
Rose smiles shyly.
Do you know how memory works, Aurora? And I don't mean in the brain chemical sense. I mean in the dream Freudian associative sense.
No?
Well, for example, if I say to you, who do you live with? It sparks a memory in you.
Roe avoids Derek's gaze.
I'm going to put all my cards on the table here. I know that you weren't honest with me when I asked who you live with. It's okay. Why would you be? Can I show you something?
He snaps his fingers. They stand in Isla's living room.
What is this? Where are we?
We're in your memory.
Another Roe watches TV as she reads a textbook.
What you thought of when I asked you where you live? You like sitcoms. And the metaphysics of morals. Interesting.
Roe's eyes shift toward a back room. Following her gaze, Derek walks through the dining room and leans into a doorway.
Uh-huh.
He turns back to Roe.
What am I supposed to buy here? That you live in this paradise of philosophy and potato chips all by yourself?
You don't need to buy it. It's true.
This girl here got all these books, all this food, this TV.
I love that TV.
Derek glances at the memory version of Roe on the couch.
I meant it when I said you're exceptional. You're actively manipulating this memory in real time, aren't you? As we stand here, in this memory of yours, you've been reading page 45. And yet...
She flips the page.
Page is always the same.
What about
my dead cat? I've heard that punchline 3 times now. You live here with someone. And they're somewhere in this memory with you. Based on your visual clues, whoever it is you're hiding comes in through there.
Why does it matter?
It only matters because you think it's important enough to lie about.
It's not important.
I'm going to say some words. I'm gonna see which ones trigger the right memories. Father.
Rose stares forward stoically.
Mother.
Her eyes shift slightly.
What does she look like?
You say you hate what we read, and yet you love that garbage?
That's good. That's very good. But what does your mother really look like?
You say you hate what we read, and yet...
Aurora.
Rose's mom walks in from the back room with a blurred face. Derek inches up and stares at her mom intently. Rose furrows her brow in disappointment.
What does she say to you in this moment?
Nothing.
What's your voice sound like?
Rose shakes her head and closes her eyes. Derek points at a framed picture.
That photo on the wall.
Rose takes a worried breath and shakes her head. A blur obscuring the photo disappears, revealing her and her mother clearly. Then, the blur on the memory version of her mother's face disappears, revealing Isla. Derek looks at her in disbelief.
Isla.
Rose frowns in surprise. Derek swipes his hands and suddenly he and Rose are back in the garden.
You know her?
I did. You shouldn't be protecting her.
He marches past Rose. Back in the office, he drops a worn manila folder on the table in front of Rose and opens it. It's full of crime scene photos.
What is this?
Your mother murdered these three people.
What? She wouldn't do this.
I wish that were true. You shouldn't have to find out this way. I'm sorry.
She wouldn't do this.
Has she ever allowed you to get in her mind?
She shakes her head.
Ever wonder why? These officers were just doing their job. Both of them had families, children. This third man there, he was our friend.
Stop.
I take it you guys moved around a lot. Well, now you know why. Aurora, you understand what I'm offering you here, right? Freedom. An opportunity to belong, to have friends that are like you. Help us find your mother.
Rose furrows her brow.
I can't.
You can't or won't?
She meets Derek's gaze and shakes her head slightly.
She's my mom.
I know what I'm asking. And I know it's hard. Your mother and I were friends once. I thought we shared a vision for a future where Psionics could be happy and safe. She chose a different path.
I want to leave.
Well, I can't let you do that. Not while she's still out there.
He closes a folder and opens the office door. A man enters.
Joseph is going to show you back to your room.
In the daytime, Isla drives down an empty street. A memory of her standoff with the police appears as she stares at the road ahead.
I'm going to give you 3 seconds to get on the ground. 3, 2, 1.
Using telekinesis, she throws a large metal cylinder at one cop, then forces the other cop to turn his gun on himself. He shoots himself in the head. The other cop gets to his feet and shoots himself in the temple.
Isla!
The brunette man walks in.
What the hell happened?
An artery in his neck bursts as he drops to the ground. In the present, Isla tightens her grip on the steering wheel. In her room at the institution, Rose sits at the foot of her bed wearing gray sweats. She holds her trembling hands out and studies them, then looks at the door. She raises her left arm toward the door and clenches her jaw. Her hand shakes with effort and the door begins to rattle in its frame. she suddenly sees Isaiah's face and grips her temple in pain. She slumps. Resigned, she stands up and retrieves a glass of water and the remote. Sitting on her bed again, she turns on the TV. On the sitcom, a couple arrives home to find two teens reading beside one another on the couch.
Look at this picture of domestic tranquility.
It's great, isn't it?
I don't trust it.
Hi, Mom. I didn't even see you guys come in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, how was it?
Oh, it was marvelous. The music, the set decoration. You know, I didn't think the whole...
A scowl crosses Rose's face. She imagines eating dinner and clinking forks with her mom. Then she imagines the folder of crime scene photos and replays the memory of her mom pinning her to the floor. Ro hurls her water glass at the TV. Standing, she smashes the TV to the ground and stomps it repeatedly. She leans over and picks up a thin piece of metal from the debris. At night, Ro lies on her side in bed, facing away from the door. Two employees walk into her room with a cart and clean up the mess on her floor. They turn to leave, and Ro strokes the thin piece of metal in her hand. As they close the door, she quickly tosses it, lodging it between the door and the jamb. Now, Ro presses her ear to the door and listens. After a moment, she eases the door open. She tiptoes into the hallway, then peers around a corner. Harsh fluorescent lights illuminate a white corridor. She looks over her shoulder and walks down it, passing an elevator bay. Opening a steel door, she enters another hallway with doors lining each side. The air is thick and hazy, lit by dim yellow lights. Ro skulks forward. Pausing, she peers through a narrow door window into a room. There, a bearded man with scraggly hair sits staring forward in a daze.
What the hell?
Ro crosses the hall and peers through another window. A woman sits in a stupor with her arms strapped to a chair.
Security breach. Please wait. Sector 426.
Ro takes off running. Two attendants march out of a room into the yellow corridor. Ro reaches a stairwell and hurries downstairs. She opens another door and sprints through a corridor. Scanning their surroundings, the two attendants hustle down the stairwell.
Let's move!
Ro continues sprinting down the hall, then comes to a sudden stop. Industrial plastic curtains hang over an entryway. She walks in to find several people sitting numbly in chairs, isolated with clear plastic curtains. She hears their thoughts as she circles them.
You're not real. None of this is real. None of this is real.
Run. Run.
Dash,
good job.
No, 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 you don't need your umbrellas, kids. Come on.
I don't want to be here anymore. Please, please.
Elsewhere, people are held in small rooms behind glass.
Get me out of here. Help me out. Come on. Get me out of here.
I'll kill you and burn you to ash.
She presses her hand against a window, where a man with long red hair fixes his gaze forward. He lunges at the glass. Ro reels back. She sprints wildly out of the hall, where an attendant grabs her. Isla pulls her hatchback up to a rural bus stop littered with trash. She parks her car on the other side of the street, then gets out and walks over to the stop. She sits inside, setting a bag on the bench beside her. She tucks her keys into a satchel slung over her shoulder and leans over to wait. At the institution, Ro bites her nails as she paces the office. Derek enters the office and Ro shrinks away from him.
I thought we were making progress.
What the hell is this place, really?
How did you get out of your room? Unless you can teleport, those locks require 1,500 pounds of force.
What is this place?
What's a human without a conscience?
What?
What is a human without a conscience? Dangerous.
So what's a psionic without a conscience? What happens when a psionic decides to use their powers
in a way that goes against the basic principles that govern moral conduct? Who would be able to stop them? When enough people think something is dangerous, they'll work to make a law forbidding it, and they will punish those who break that law.
Rose sits on the couch across from Derek, frowning.
What law?
Not the kind written in books.
And the people in those cells, they're psionics?
Yes.
What did they do?
Exist.
Exist. That's it.
Psionics are too dangerous to live free in the world. To borrow a phrase from your readings, it's a utilitarian decision. The best outcome for the most people. I find them, I bring them here, and I take care of them.
But you're psionic.
It's called self-preservation. If it wasn't me, it would be someone else. 20 years ago, they recruited me to track down psionics who were using their powers in ways that were unethical. Can't put them in jail, so an idea was proposed. We build this facility, find psionics to run it. I tried to help your mother. Offered her the chance to run it with me. Compromise. Not her strongest trait.
You lied to me.
No.
Everything you said about this place, about helping me, it was all bullshit.
No. Each of those people, they're living inside their projections. Living in their own memories, their own fantasies. They're happy.
That's not living.
They have no consequence for their decisions. No chance to hurt anyone. And that's the whole truth. Now, where's Isla? Where's Isla? Where's Isla? Isla! 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 What does she tell you to do if you get caught?
Rose sets her jaw.
No?
Derek snaps his fingers, and Ro and Isla appear studying at the kitchen table.
I tell them nothing.
What do you show them?
Nothing.
What happens if they go into your memories?
I forget.
Forget what?
As much as I can.
How?
Think of anything else.
Use an anchor
memory. Right, yeah.
Ro sits on her couch watching sitcoms.
Oh, there's that Isla fire. But using this memory as a shield? You give yourself away. This represents what you most wanted your life to be like.
Get out of my head.
Back in the office, Derek sighs and looks at the floor.
Well, this isn't gonna work.
He strides out of the office. Two attendants, a man and a woman, march in, grab Ro, and try to restrain her.
What are you doing? Stop! Get off!
They pin her to the ground. Ro propels a coffee table into the woman, then rips out the man's device and launches him across the room. He recovers and punches Ro in the face. The two attendants grab the dazed teen by the arms and haul her away. Now in a dark room, Ro is forced onto a gurney where her arms and legs are tied in restraints. A dim yellow light shines down on her. The attendants step aside as Derek strolls in with his hands in his pockets.
This could have been easy. Whatever happens now, you chose it.
No.
The more you fight, the more it hurts.
He presses a hand to her head and her eyes roll back. At home, she shoots up in bed and gazes around suspiciously. Standing up, She cautiously walks out into the hallway, still wearing the institution sweatpants and sweatshirt.
Hello?
In the living room, bright daylight streams through the windows. Ro edges in, eyeing the space tentatively. She turns to see Isaiah smiling in at her from the dining room.
Hi.
Ro freezes.
What's wrong?
No, you're not real.
Sure I am.
Isaiah steps up to her and takes her hand.
Feels real.
Right? Stop.
Why? What's wrong? It's just us. You always wanted.
No.
She pushes him back.
Why are you doing this to me?
Isaiah grimaces and grabs his neck. Ro rushes up to him as he drops to his knees.
No, 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 no. You're okay, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay.
Unharmed, Isaiah stands up and smiles. Blood explodes from his neck. Ro stands in a black void. Beneath a dim yellow light on the gurney, Ro gapes absently into the distance. In the void, a shadow crosses over her. Ro's eyes shift nervously. She glances over her shoulder. Isaiah stands a few feet behind her, and she quickly turns away from him. She checks again, and Isaiah has disappeared. He reappears right in front of her.
I'm sorry.
He points accusingly at her, and blood seeps from his eyes and mouth. Ro covers her ears and suddenly finds herself on the set of her favorite sitcom. She sits on a couch in a gaudy living room. A boom mic hovers over her as she looks around anxiously. A voice calls out from offset.
That's your date, bro. You better open it.
Wearing overalls and a yellow tank top, Ro stands and opens the front door. Isaiah greets her holding a single rose.
Hi. Wow. You look amazing.
He holds the flower out for her. His head bursts in a bloody explosion. She shuts the door and Isla walks into the living room.
Oh, Ro. Did you go and kill your boyfriend again? But then again, what can you expect from someone so weak? But there goes another one. Try to keep from killing this one.
Splattered in blood, Ro stares in horror at her mom.
There's only one way to stop it, Ro. Tell us where she is.
Tell us where she is.
Tell us where she is.
The set lights darken around Ro and she finds herself outside the high school in bright daylight. Empty picnic tables sit beneath an oak tree, and Ro walks past wearing gray sweats. Rounding a corner, she comes across seven attendants standing motionless in the schoolyard. They whip their heads toward her in unison. Ro shifts uncertainly. The attendants take off after her and Ro flees. She flings open a door to the school and locks it behind her after entering. The attendants frantically bang on it as Ro catches her breath. Ro turns to see five school desks where Aaron, Kala, Dina, and Caleb sit staring forward. One desk sits empty. They turn their heads and look at Ro.
Hello, Aurora. Why don't you join us? We have a seat for you.
Right here. Just join us. This is what you wanted, right?
Friends.
Staring at them, Rose stalks to the back of the room. Isaiah's friends keep their gaze on her. She finds another door and tugs at the handle, only to find it locked.
Let me out!
Aurora.
She turns slowly to see Isaiah standing in the room.
It's a cool name.
Isaiah. I'm so sorry. I couldn't control it and I didn't mean to.
It'll be okay, Ro. Just tell us. Just tell us.
Please.
Deserve!
The door opens behind her and Ro falls backward. She stands up in her dining room. Ro turns and eyes the room suspiciously.
Aurora! What did you do?
Mom?
You never listen.
You're not real.
You left the house when I told you. I told you not to! But I knew you were weak. Didn't I tell you? You were weak!
Mom, please.
And I was right. You killed that boy.
Stop!
That's on you! You are my one regret!
Running to her room, Ro shuts the door and sits against it.
Please, please, just leave me alone, please. Just...
Come on, Ro! Let's go! We got shit to do! You are weak. You are small. You are nothing but a disappointment! Tell us. We'll take away the guilt. We'll make you strong. Tell us.
Tell us.
Take away the guilt.
Please, just stop.
Ro looks up and sees her mom standing in her room, backlit by bright light.
It's okay, Ro. You can tell them. I'm here.
Tears well in Ro's eyes. She nods.
Okay.
What happens if they go into your memories?
I forget.
Forget what?
As much as I can.
How?
Think of anything else.
Use an anchor
memory. An anchor memory, yeah. I know.
And you fight. You fight as long and as hard as you can. And where will I be?
The bus stop on the 730 line off of Route 80, Exit 3.
That's right.
Ro wakes up on the gurney crying. Derek stands stoically beside her.
What are you gonna do? Will you catch her?
Derek pats her shoe, then starts out of the room. As he reaches the door, he vanishes. Ro sits on the couch at home in a purple dress. Isla bustles in the kitchen.
Hi, honey. Just making some dinner.
Ro looks at her dubiously.
Mom. The one and only. Isaiah will be here soon. You better get washed up. Here, this will make you feel better.
She passes Ro a glass of water. Ro studies the glass for a moment, then drops it to the floor. Isla flinches.
This isn't real. This is the life you wanted. Why fight it?
At the institution, Ro lies strapped to the gurney, staring off in a stupor. At night, Isla sits at the bus stop, Derek materializes on the road before her.
Ayla!
What did you do to her?
It's good to see you too.
You know I'm gonna kill you, right?
Well, you're skipping the pleasantries. Well, at least you're consistent. Well, your daughter and I have been having some insightful conversations.
I know you did.
Nobody wants unsolicited parenting advice, but Jesus, Ayla, you have fucked that kid up.
I did what I needed to do to keep her away from you.
Yeah? How's that going? See, this is why I'm not a parent. These kids just don't listen, do they? Then again, nobody listens.
Let her go. Take me.
Why? Why would I do that?
Ayla stands outside the institution.
Hope.
Hope. Ayla, that's ironic. I mean,
Derek dusts off the bench and sits.
We both hoped for a better world. Difference is, I created one.
He tosses a stone and it floats. Ayla marches into the institution and suppresses two attendants.
Where is she?
Derek playfully tosses the stone with his telekinesis.
Oh, you know where she is. You know how this ends. We had a good thing, Ayla. We really did. I miss it. I confess. I offered you a way out.
What, by working for you?
By working beside me.
In that rotten hellhole you were so proud of.
I could have killed you that night.
Why didn't you?
I wasn't ready to kill my friend.
You talk about me being consistent. You are consistent. You are a coward. You've always been a coward. And instead of fighting them, you became their errand boy.
Ayla sneaks down a hallway and enters a room.
I promoted the greater good.
She finds Ro on the gurney.
Wake up.
I am awake. What you want would lead to war. The whole world against psionics. That's not a fight we can win.
You don't know that. There are other ways. You need to wake up now. Look at me.
Ro snaps out of it.
Mom, are you... Is this real?
Yes, this is real.
As Ayla unties Ro, Derek frowns.
What did you say?
The Ayla sitting beside him flickers.
Goodbye, Derek.
At the institution, Ayla arms a bomb from an app on her phone. Derek opens the bag beside the projection of Ayla to find the device. He grins. It explodes. Ro and Ayla rush through the hallways at the institution. Derek teleports to the entrance of Ro's room and sees the empty gurney. He calls out to a nearby attendant.
Lock this place down. Ayla!
Amber strobe lights flash up and down the hallways. Ayla and Ro arrive at a locked set of double doors.
No, no, no!
Ayla. I know you're in the building.
Shut your mind, Ro. Come on.
They turn and head another direction. Elsewhere, attendants run down a hall and march down a stairwell. Ayla and Ro arrive at another locked door. Again, they turn and continue running, visible only in flashes of amber light. The attendants sprint down a hallway. Ayla and Ro scramble down a stairwell and enter a room. They find an exit door. Isla's car sits parked on the street, visible through the window. She tries the door, but it's locked.
Ayla!
Ayla turns to Ro and nods. They inch toward a corner of the room, out of sight from a row of windows that look into the hall. Derek appears, slinking down the hallway. He pauses at the entrance of the room, then slowly steps in.
Ayla?
The room sits empty. Derek edges forward, along the row of windows. He pauses and turns to scan the room. Behind him, the silhouettes of Roe and Isla briefly flicker into view before disappearing again. Derek turns around and thrusts his hand at the empty space, pinning a now visible Isla to the wall.
Oh, so close!
He flings Roe backward.
Remember astral projection? Your mama here just put on a clinic. Oh, but she refuses to see the necessity of what I do here!
Stop!
Didn't need to come to this, Isla. Didn't need to end like this. But your idea of freedom, it only works when paired with duty!
Stop!
The world is safer and better because of me! But you never believe in absolutes. That is the problem.
Rose stands and clenches her fists as a breeze ruffles her hair. Roe focuses on Derek as he chokes Isla against the wall. A memory of Isaiah's death flashes before her.
Roe. Trust your power.
Roe bares her teeth.
I said... Stop!
She lunges forward and grabs her mom. They both vanish, then reappear in a dirt lot behind a barn at night. Isla hugs her daughter.
Where are we,
bro? The only place I could think of, the farm back in Missouri.
How did you do that?
I don't know. I knew I had to be the strong one for once, and I stopped being afraid of disappointing you.
We need to go.
Isla holds out her hand to help Roe up. Roe stands without taking it and strides off. Now, the two walk down a quiet street. Isla checks the doors of parked cars as Roe follows behind her. Finding the door of a white SUV unlocked, Isla climbs inside and pops off a panel behind the steering wheel. Roe settles into the passenger seat as her mom hotwires the vehicle. Brooding, Roe glances over at her mom. Isla puts the car in gear and drives off, the glow of the SUV's taillights blurring in the distance. Roe turns to look at her mom.
You knew I'd break. You knew I'd tell him about the bus stop.
I had to figure out a way to make a weakness into an asset.
Wow.
It's not what I meant.
Isla glances over at Roe as she cruises down the empty road.
You should have never left the house.
Are you serious right now? I know what you did. The murders.
Roe glares at her mom. Isla furrows her brow and pulls to a stop beneath the glow of a street lamp. She leans back.
Mom, I need you to start telling me the truth. No more lies, or I am getting out of this car.
What do you want to know?
Everything. Tell me everything.
Isla nods and holds out her hand.
My mind is open. It's all there.
Roe hesitates skeptically, then takes her mom's hand. They both lean back and close their eyes. Now they stand outside a building at night, observing a younger Isla from a distance.
Where are we?
Where you just were. His facility, 15 years ago.
I'm done talking.
This won't stop anything.
You were trying to stop him.
It was supposed to be a place to hold dangerous psionics. And then he started going after all of us. Even the ones who had done nothing wrong. You were just a baby. I couldn't have you end up here.
Run, 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 run!
Hurry! Hey, stop! Stop!
Now they watch Isla stand off with police.
If she takes one more step, I'm gonna pull the trigger. That's what you're thinking, right? You not so much. Now you are.
Oh, shit! Hey! No, stop!
Derek stands behind the younger Isla, mimicking the movements of the police as they shoot themselves.
Isla! What the hell happened?
Derek flicks a hand and the man dies.
Daniel! Talk to me. Oh, why did you do that?
Illustrate a point. Psionics are dangerous, huh?
He was our friend.
No, he was your friend. Like you, he was in the way. When people ask what happened here, I'm going to tell them exactly who's responsible for it.
You're crazy. I didn't kill him.
Five people know what happened in this room. Three of them are dead. And let's not forget, you just tried to blow a hole in the side of my building.
Ro watches somberly as her mom hunches over, crying. Back in the SUV, she lets go of Isla's hand.
I've been running so long. I don't know how to stop.
Why didn't you just tell me? You didn't have to shut me out. And my whole life you made me feel like I did something wrong. And I know you think I'm weak, but I could have helped. I can help.
I was only trying to protect you.
How did that turn out? I killed my only friend.
Ro gazes sullenly out the window. Isla nods sorrowfully.
I'm sorry. For all of it. Aurora, please. Look at me.
Ro turns to her mom.
You are not weak. I never thought you were weak. I didn't want you to see my pain. I was the weak one.
I'm not going back to living the way we were.
She fixes her mom with a resolved stare. Isla lowers her gaze, then puts the vehicle in gear and continues driving. In overcast daylight, Ro and Isla sit outside a rural roadside cafe, sipping drinks.
I was thinking when we're done here, we should head north. I was thinking Portland.
Maine?
Oregon.
Oregon.
Look, I know some people there. It's a great city. He's gonna keep coming after us, Ro. It'll be different this time.
Ro averts her gaze and stares off.
I don't know another way, Ro.
Ro stares at her mom. Isla narrows her eyes and tilts her head.
Gotten very good at it. Keeping me out of your head.
Ro holds an arm at her side and shifts her fingers.
I'm not gonna keep running.
She squeezes her hand to a fist, and a glass pitcher of pink lemonade explodes behind her.
Why did you do that?
So he knows where we are.
She stands up and strides down a gravel drive, past green farmland. Her mom follows after her. Derek materializes in the road before them and waves.
Hi.
God damn it, Ro.
We need to talk.
Yeah. Lifetime of running and hiding no longer seems so appealing, does it?
Not so much, no.
Yeah. That was real impressive. What you did back there. The teleporting.
There's a world where you and I could work together.
Ro.
Work together how?
Succession.
That come with a pension?
Well, it comes with stability and autonomy. I'm not gonna live forever. Someone needs to take over when I'm gone.
And you need a teacher, Ro.
He gestures smugly at himself. Her gaze shifts towards her mom, then back to him.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work for me. And don't call me Ro.
Okay.
I want you to let us go.
Let you go where?
Just leave us alone?
Or...
Ro, we need to go.
Just trust me.
Ro clenches her jaw, giving Isla a defiant look. She takes a step closer to Derek.
So what is it? What are we doing?
I think you know.
Ro slowly raises her arms from her sides. The light blurs around her. An amused grin crosses Derek's lips. Derek holds up an open hand. A smoky black orb swirls above his palm. He shakes his head regretfully.
You are not alone.
Ro clenches her fists and a shockwave bursts from her. She teleports inches from Derek, grabs onto him, and teleports once more to the center of the highway. A dump truck smashes into him in a spray of blood. The truck stops. Ro's lip trembles as she looks toward the truck. Her mom rushes up behind her.
We have a choice how we use these powers. That's what you said. He wasn't gonna stop. I'm not going to Oregon.
Ro strides away. A railroad stretches across lush countryside. Yellow highway lines flash past as hazy mountains mark the horizon of a desert landscape. Dim, eerie yellow light illuminates an empty hallway at the institution. All the locked doors open in unison.
I've been told a lie.
Credits roll.
I've been played a song.
Audio description created by 3Play Media, written by Charlotte Mazurek, and narrated by Morgan Gray.